Good morning, guys, and welcome to episode 15 of the Digital Commando Show. It is Tuesday Trends today, so we're going to be talking about marketing and specifically what works and doesn't work. So the 3 points for today are: what is your current focus and strategy? What's working for our guests today? And what content to create and why? So if you're trying to create content and trying to think of ideas, we're going to give you some today. And then our top three social media tips for success. Now, everything's changing at the minute. It's really, really exciting times online. So we're going to give you three top tips for social media success. So my guest today is Lindsay Woodward. I'm going to bring her into the room right now.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hey.
Thanks for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Absolutely superb. So for those that don't know you, can you give everyone a quick introduction?
Yes. So my name is Lindsay Woodward. I am a marketing consultant. I work for Lindsay Woodward Marketing, and I have 17 years experience in marketing, working for many years in house. I've run many marketing departments. And more recently, I've become a freelance consultant. I am a chartered marketer. I have a professional diploma in marketing. And more recently, I'm a fellow of the Chartered Institute of Marketing. So I've been doing it for a long time, and I've got a lot of training and experience behind me. So hopefully I can give you some great tips today.
Fantastic. That's awesome, Lindsay. So guys, Lindsay's giving up her time today. The one thing I ask of you every single day is if you know anybody that's looking to increase their market at the minute or need some tips, then please do tag them in the comments. And if you're watching it on the replay, feel free to tag them on the comments or share the whole show with them. That would be absolutely excellent. Right, Lindsay, let's get stuck into it. Strategy. Now, strategies, it's so broad, but what things are you currently doing for either yourself or your clients that's really working at the minute?
There is only one answer that's possible here, and it's what everybody seems to get wrong, and that is working to objectives. If you don't know what you want to achieve, you can't possibly achieve it. And a lot of people say, I want to do marketing, as if it's narrow. Actually, marketing is massive. So you really need to work to objectives. So I would call it a rationale at the start of any strategy. Think about what you want to achieve. And it could be anything. It's got to be what you want to achieve. So is that to grow your business, reach a certain turnover? It could be that you want to launch a new product. It could be that you want to rebrand, reposition. It could be that your competitors have started to do really well. So you need to somehow react to that. Whatever it is, know what you want to achieve. And there's significant evidence to showcase that if you don't work to objectives, you're not going to be successful. Because it's just going to be that throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what happens. So get an objective in mind. That's the most important thing to begin with. And then work backwards, work everything towards that objective. And anything you're doing that isn't going to somehow help you meet that goal, don't do it. There is no such thing as just trying lots of things in marketing. It's about working to key goals. So think what you want to achieve, whatever it is. No harm in having two or three objectives that you want to work to. But perhaps if you're a sole trader or a very small company, maybe keep it to one because your resources will be quite narrow. So whenever I work with someone, the first question I always ask them is, what do you want to achieve? What is your purpose? And when they answer that, then we work towards that, because that way you've got a much better chance of success because you know what you want to achieve. And therefore, you're not wasting your time doing things that aren't that focused.
I think that's such a good point that you bring up there. And it comes back to lots of different areas. It's not even just in marketing. And I think this is one of the things that I speak to people about. Maybe they're starting up in business or they're just getting their marketing up and running. And it's very much when you're creating your marketing strategy to talk to people about, what is it that you are looking to achieve in essence? So if we look at things like, I want to sell more products. Okay, then great. You've got an end line. How much product do you want to sell? This is always good because you need to make sure you've got enough stock. That's a great point. So it's one of those things that we always compare it to. If I jump in a taxi and I go, right, let's go, I kind of need to know where we're going to end up. You need to know where you're going. So it's a great, absolutely fantastic point you bring out there, Lindsay. So guys, make sure when you are planning your marketing, you have a goal, and you may have multiple goals. That's absolutely fine. You can have a goal that's designed to sell. I know with our personal strategy, we have our sales strategy, we have our brand strategy. So you can have, you can mix those in. Lizzie, we're going to go on to talking about the next point, which is which kinds of content to create and why. And I think this ties back to what you've just said there about an objective. Now, depending on what kind of objective people have got, they will create different kinds of content. So what kind of content are you working with clients currently that's getting really good results?
Again, it really comes down to what you want to achieve. There's no right or wrong answer here. The only wrong thing to do is to just try lots of things, is to broadcast massively and just keep pushing out content all the time. It's actually a really bad thing to do. You might think if I'm constantly online, it will be really good. I'll be constantly seeing, but actually all you do is become white noise. You become irritating. And if you have got a nugget of a really good message in there, it's going to get lost. And the one thing somebody said to me once, we've been trying lots of marketing, we've tried this and we've tried that, we've tried so much stuff and nothing's worked. And I said to him, well, how much time have you thought about your message? And he looked at me blankly and he said, well, no, we've tried lots of logistics. And actually, you need to really think about your message. What is it you want to say? What is it you've got to say? What is it you've got to offer? In the marketing world, we don't talk about USPs that much anymore because there's so many people doing different things. Now it's about your authentic voice. What is it? What's your differentiation? What is it that makes you stand out? Because we all have a story to tell. There's all a reason why we're in business. And actually, the online world is making us very anonymous. So actually, think about your story, what you've got to offer, what your message is, what makes you different, and then tell that and have that at the core of all your content. So spend a bit of time doing your research. Really know your customer base. Don't guess. Don't assume. Do your research. And whenever I work with anybody, the first thing I do is a marketing audit to actually say, let's not assume anything. Let's go away, get some facts, understand the market, understand the customers, understand what your competitors are doing, understand your brand story, and then let's build some content around that. So if you're really, really, really good at what you do, you've got a lot of knowledge, it might be that you've come from a very educational point of view, you've got a lot to offer. If you're launching a new product, you might want to do a lot of content around how important this product is, what the key factors of it are, but don't make any assumptions. Really work to your objective and do your research first, and then build content that's going to work towards your goal.
I love that. You're all fantastic points. And I think when you talk about the actual content itself, and I remember, Lindsay have seen this a million times, the same as I have, there are agencies out there that will provide you with, I think it's software based, it must be software based. I don't even know what it is because we would never use it, which will post to your social media content every single hour, 2 hours, 30 minutes, 15 minutes. I have seen people use it, local companies to me actually, that will post out like every 15 minutes on Twitter, another message, another message, another message. And you see it, the same messages coming out consistently, and it just gets so blasé, you switch off to it. I actually start to delete people or block them because I get so pissed off of it. It's crap. It doesn't add any value. And I think this is one of the keys that we always come back to, especially with the agency Sigma that I run, which is the content needs to add value. Now, before any of my team write a piece of content, we kind of talk about what you just said, Lindsay, which is what is the goal, what's the objective of the content that we're going to send out. And then we sit back once the content is written and go, what value does that add to the audience or the user or the customer? And if it doesn't add any value and my team can't answer the question, I get them to delete it and start again. Because if you're not adding value, you're not building brand. And this is one of the things we go back to from a sales objective. Our ultimate goal for most businesses online is going to be to close that sale at the end and convert that business. Now, just because you're online, it doesn't mean that you can skip the sales process. An organic sales process when you're working in a shop is no different to the one that you're doing online. And the first thing we need to do is build a relationship with our customers. So before we're going to sell that to them, if someone walks into a high street shop, they're going to say, hey, good morning, nice to see you. Is there anything I can help you with? And once they've gone through that process, they're then going to talk about maybe the products and the advantage of the products, how they're made, the team that makes them. Going back to what you said, Lindsay, about the story and what makes them unique to all the other sellers. It might be that Bob's been working for the company for 30 years and He's making this bespoke. He's got so much experience. Bob's got a nice family and the rest of it. And that's kind of the bit that ties you in. That's unique. That's their story. And actually, when I buy this piece of clothing or a chair or whatever it is, I can then, when my friends come around to my house, I'll tell the same story. I'll be like, oh, you like my chair? Yeah, Bob made it. Bob's wicked. I'll tell you a bit about Bob. Everybody likes a bit of a story with things. So I would say, don't forget that just because we're online, our marketing is still going down the traditional sales funnel. And for people that can't sell currently due to coronavirus and things like that, use this opportunity to create content and deliver content that grows your brand and builds a relationship with your audience, so that when you are ready to sell again, that relationship's already there. It's much easier to sell to someone that already knows who you are, might be a fan, rather than just going, what most people do, especially for the guys that know us in the academy, which we talk about this all the time with Facebook ads, is, hi, nice to meet you, buy my shit. It doesn't work, ever. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You need to be subtler. You need to think about what you stand for, what your story is, who you are, and really target it at your audience. The more you can demonstrate that you understand the audience, the more success you'll get.
So we've done some testing, just stay on audience for a bit, or stay on content for a while. Now, there's loads and loads of different kinds of content that people create. We've got things from blogs to video to like how-to videos. You've got testimonial videos. We've got millions of kinds of content, case studies, everything. Lindsay, have you got anything that you use for clients that work really, really well, or have you got a preference of which way you kind of go towards content?
Again, I'm going to sound like a stuck record here, but it comes down to purpose. I've had a lot of clients come to me and say, we want to do a video. We've heard that video is so important. We've heard that everyone's doing video. And I say, well, okay, but why? Why do you want to do a video? Other than the fact that you think it might work for you as a tool, actually, if you start off with that hollow beginning, people see right through it. I'm a word nerd, I am. So I always like to read stuff over video. But the videos that really work for me are the ones that get to the point, the ones that have a real clear purpose, the ones that you want to stick to because you're learning. And the most important word, I think, that you said this morning, Stefan, is value. And that's really, really important. Everything's got to have value, because if you don't know why you're doing it, no one's going to know why they're watching it. And I can't stand videos that start off with, hello, you're here today, or welcome to my video, because you've already wasted 5-10 seconds of someone's time. So whatever you do, make sure you understand the point. To start off really with, I need to sell this new product. I need to, I want to promote my brand more. How is the best way for me to do that? And I know my audience, they're this age, they're this gender, they do this, this is how they spend their day. And these are the best tools for me then to target them with. Because if your audience aren't the typical people that are going to watch videos, why would you do a video? If you don't think they've got time to read blogs, or you have absolutely nothing to say in a blog, don't do it. Think about what is it you want to achieve and what is your skill set, and then get things across properly. So some people I know, they do fantastic blogs. They do really good blogs because they've got a lot to say. They're really experts in their field, and the blogs are really to the point and interesting. They get such great readership, especially if you've got a different angle. There's a lot of content out at the minute. If you can find a different angle on something, and that means sometimes you have to be a bit more vulnerable. Don't feel you have to churn out the same things. Just strip yourself sometimes a bit there, we say, and put things out there that other people might not say, or other people are afraid to say. There's no harm in having an opinion. It's a really good thing because it gets your voice out there. And whatever way you're going to do it, make sure you feel confident. Again, there's nothing worse than doing a video and then you're standing there shaking because it puts people off. Think about your strengths, what you want to achieve, and ask yourself, why am I doing this? And if the answer is because everyone else is, or so-and-so told me to do it, then don't do it. Do it because this is the best way for me to convey that message that I need to get out there.
Absolutely. I think you're spot on there with everybody learns in a different way. And so when we're talking about learning, that's very similar to how we consume content. like when we're at school would have been talked about, that people have talked about, again, it's not my area of expertise, but the different ways in which we learn, and I can't remember what they're called, Lindsay, you might know, which is some people learn by watching, some people learn by writing, listening. It's all to do with your senses, and different people take it in a different way, which means when you are purposing content or repurposing content, which is what I love, then you need to be thinking about these different people. Now, you could have your audience can be broad, or it can be neat, it could be very specific. But within those, you are going to have people who consume content in different ways. So I like how, well, we've obviously spoken a bit about video there. Now, I personally love video. Like Lindsay said, she's a word nerd. So most of my content would be like, wouldn't even, like Lindsay just wouldn't pay any attention. So because we don't do too much written word. And that's one of my, that's part of my ethos as well. And it's part of our brand that we don't do it. And unfortunately for those that like to read words, you're not going to really engage with our brand so much, which is a shame. If we had more time, then maybe we would, but we kind of really do the opposite to lots of marketing agencies. And Lindsay probably won't agree with me on this, which is absolutely fine because we've all got our own individual strategy for clients. Now, we do not write blogs. We hate it. I can't stand it. From all the analytics that we've personally looked at on client websites and stuff before we start working with them, they spend so much time, or either them or they're paying an agency or their team themselves are writing these big long blogs, and it's taking up a significant amount of time, which time costs money naturally. Now, when we look at their analytics and see that 16 people in the last month have actually read the blog and none of them went onto another page after that on the website, we can probably see that there was no return on investment from those blogs themselves. So that, to be fair, is if they're not very well-written blogs. I think if you've got something that really adds value, that can be very, very different. And if you're a very good writer, that can be different. Now, for us, it just didn't work. And I think when blogs are written in-house a lot of the time by people, they get consumed by content surrounded by product rather than value, which again is another bit of a struggle for people doing it in-house. So yeah, content's really key. One of the things I love about, you've mentioned being a bit of a word nerd, word geek. Facebook are so cool now. So for anybody watching this on Facebook, now if I've got this wrong, I'm going to be so pissed off, but anybody watching it on Facebook, and if anybody is watching it, which would be great, please put a note in the comments. Now, Facebook are automatically adding subtitles to certain videos. Now, even though we're live streaming, if I look at this on my phone or anything now, subtitles are coming up at the bottom of the video, which is brilliant. It's so cool because another one of my pet hates was adding subtitles to videos, not because I didn't think it was of value, just because it was so time intensive. We had to plug in all different systems, then check it all. So if we did a 45-minute show, I'd have to sit there for 45 minutes, check it all, write the words in manually, and now Facebook does it for us, which I love. So when people do want to consume content and they don't want to have the sound on, they can do it. So that is absolutely wicked. And then going back to content, we've got platforms. And again, Lindsay will agree with this. Depending on who your audience is, you may decide to use a different platform. I said my advice is use all of them if you can, but if you have got time and financial restraints on your business, then maybe you're just going to pick the ones that work best for you. So Lindsay, you're very comfortable with all the platforms. Do you want to give people just a quick rundown of like which platform work for what kind of businesses or niches and stuff like that, or what from your experience?
I would never advise anyone to use all the platforms. Unless you are literally doing all things to all men, which again is a really bad idea, because if you don't stand for something, then it's really hard for people to get to know you. So, and the platforms are all used by different people, and I'm including things like TikTok and Snapchat in here, which have a very, very different audience to Facebook. So really, really think about your audience and think about why you're on social media as well. And what you said earlier was really interesting about the blog, Stefan, because I bet you anything, these blogs that haven't worked, because they weren't really thought about in the first place, it's this idea, we need to have a blog, because everyone's got a blog. Mm-hmm. So we need to be on social media. And I've had a lot of people tell me, I've got to be on Facebook. And I'm like, well, why? Well, everybody is. So-and-so told me you have to be. Well, if your audience isn't on there, or it's not the right platform for you. Think about who you're targeting and how they interact with the platform as well, because different people interact in different ways and you really need to know your customers. So Twitter is quite a good one for lots of different people, different genders as well, different age groups. But again, in think about it differently. Some of my clients, we use Twitter not to sell through, but to interact with other important affiliate companies, which is really, really important. It's about getting, rather than it being a selling tool, we use it to be that brand support. We need to get testimonials, interact with people. A lot of media agencies, publications, we use it to try and get word out there to actually piggyback on the back of other people. So it's actually totally different strategies than just broadcasting out your messages. I wouldn't use Facebook for that purpose. Facebook, I'd use more. Facebook ads are incredible and actually really are becoming more powerful for the B2B market. But again, don't just do lots and lots of Facebook ads. Really think about your strategy and actually the targeting in Facebook. They're doing such great work at the minute. So if you're going to commit to doing Facebook ads, don't just do it for 3 weeks and give up. Commit in the long haul. You can do it at a very reasonable budget. But give it a thought. Make sure you're doing it for the right purpose and make sure that you know your audience is going to see it. Instagram is a very interesting one because it's image led, so really think about the images. Don't just post anything. And actually, some brands are using it very cleverly, and simply by putting more everyday images, but their brand colours in there. They're using it in lots of different ways. But if you haven't got images, I don't use Instagram for my business because I'm more words related. I have a service, I don't have products, I don't have anything to show. So I thought, why would I? It's going to be contrived then. It's going to be this forcing that doesn't fit naturally. When I sat and did my marketing strategy and thought about my brand, Instagram didn't fit naturally in there, nor do I think my clients would interact with me anyway on Instagram. And then TikTok, obviously, it's a younger audience, potentially. If you're selling to older professionals, then TikTok, they're not going to engage in it. You're not going to be able to use it in the right way. So really, really think about who your audience is, what messages you've got out there, what you want to get through it, and don't think about what is my social media strategy. Think about what is my marketing strategy and how can I use social media as part of that, because actually the more holistic you think about your marketing, the more broad your content is and the way that you're targeting your customers, the more success you'll have.
No, great point, Lindsay. I think it depends. I could get 20 marketers on this show. So I just want people to understand this if they're watching. The strategy that I would use and the strategy that Lindsay would use are very different, but neither of them are wrong. So I could have 20 marketers on this call now. Not literally, because it only lets me have six, but if I could, I could have 20 marketers and we would all have a very, very, very different strategy. But they may all work. So they just work in different ways. So I think for my strategy, I am slightly different. We try and create as much content for as many people as possible. We don't blat out content every 15 minutes. We're very much like Lindsay, quality over quantity. I'm sure you'll agree. But I say to people, if you're looking at playing the long game, and brand is a long game, sales is a short game. If you want to sell, if you're good at selling online and you've got a good strategy, you can sell stuff in a week. It doesn't take long. If you want to build brand and sell for the long term, it's a bit different. Now, if you're selling fidget spinners, you're kind of in and you're out, game over. It was a good fad. It was a trend. It's fine. If you're looking at building brand in the long term, then I would say potentially look at things like TikTok. So my brand itself, we've got Sigma in the academy now. No, but there's probably not many people that are on TikTok looking at the bigger scale that are going to buy either digital marketing or become a freelancer in Facebook advertising. But in 5 years, some of those 18 to 20 year olds that are on TikTok may be thinking, you know what, I wouldn't actually mind becoming a freelance digital marketer. So then maybe at that point, we could start to sell to them, and we've got 5 years worth of relationship building that we've already done with them, which I think is incredible. On top of that, it's great for organic reach. So the organic reach on it is still so cheap. I don't think that's going to last very long now. I feel sorry for some of my friends actually that have joined TikTok really recently, and they're struggling to get kind of 20 followers. And I think I got 500 in the first day just by posting a video, because early adoption of any platform is great. So if we see any new platforms jump up, guys, get on them, because I would say get on them early while the young people are there, while you get loads of engagement, and then it works. It pays for itself later on. So I was thinking about that. Instagram. I totally agree with you on the Instagram. I was quite a late adopter to Instagram. I wasn't sure it was going to really take off. Feel terrible about that, because I was really wrong. Doesn't happen very often, but I know I was really wrong with that one. So I think Instagram, we don't do a hell of a lot on Instagram, but we are on IGTV. If anybody wants to watch the show, IGTV, there we are. So there's so many platforms now. The time it takes to create content for all of these platforms can be incredible. But if you take something like, so this show, for example, so we love to repurpose content. I like people to create one piece of content and get the most out of it as possible, because there's nothing worse than creating content after content after content to the point where you haven't actually got time to do your job. So for small business owners, this can kind of consume you. So this show, for example, it normally lasts between half an hour and 45 minutes. So this automatically goes on to Facebook, it goes onto YouTube, it goes onto Twitter. So it's already there before we do anything. Now, LinkedIn and IGTV will only let us upload 10 minutes. So we actually pull the video down, we snip it around a bit, we add a cool intro and all the rest of it, and then we put back up the 10-minute video onto LinkedIn and onto IGTV. We then make a really, really short version, which is 30 seconds, and we put that onto IG Stories, Facebook Stories, and TikTok. So there's three more content. So before we've really done any work, we've just done our basic stuff, we've already got about, on average, about 9 or 10 pieces of content there when we look at different platforms on Facebook and things like that. Before we've done anything, then you can obviously take snippets. We could take screenshots. We could use the screenshots. And for Lindsay, you could, we could take all of the transcript out of it and actually have a written transcript of the show itself. So there's so many things that you can do. And actually, a written transcript is so good. Like, if people are putting these videos on their website, absolutely 100% transcribe them, because Google loves words. Like, it seriously loves words. So I would definitely say do that. Lindsay, fantastic points there. Really, really good. To finish off the show then, we're going to look at three social media tips for success. Now this again is quite broad, so that we could probably sit here all day and just keep listing them all day long, but what would be your top three social media tips for success?
Well, actually, if we look at the latest trends, because I think with digital marketing it changes so fast. I do a lot of training, and I will go on a course, seminar, and then you go 3-4 months later and everything you learned before is out of date. So if we look at what's happening just at the minute and actually focus on, because we've talked a lot about general strategies and things like that. I want to stick, because I think one of the most important things really is, first of all, just to reiterate, don't just work social media as an independent to the rest of your marketing, and don't think social media is going to give you all the answers. Have a really large marketing strategy, and that's as large as you can get within your resource. And then use social media as part of that. So don't do different things on your website. Make sure social media mirrors the messages that you talk about everywhere else. PR is a really good thing to do that a lot of people overlook. So try and build that in with your social media, and have your social media as part of one channel of many that you use. So make sure you've got an overarching strategy, and don't just think, what's social media strategy? Because you're immediately then narrowing down your chances of success. 2020 stories are big at the minute. There's so much evidence to show that stories are having huge success. The platforms really like them. And the great thing about stories is they're gone in 24 hours. So it gives you a chance to be bold. So really good tip at the minute is use stories. Put something out there, put something out, something big, bold, make a statement, whatever you want to do, something exciting, and it will give a good push. The platforms will really help you put it out there. So if you haven't done it, give it a go, but make sure obviously whatever you put in there is works as part of your larger marketing strategy. And also, a really good tip at the minute, something that has been shown that what customers want at the minute across a broad range is private messaging. And this is something that's often overlooked. We think social media is social, but actually within the social media world, people are wanting to get back in touch with brands through private messaging. And something like WhatsApp, which is actually a really great tool, you can now get through WhatsApp to a brand. And actually, the more that you allow your customers to private message you back, especially in response to things you put, the more chance you'll get of people interacting with you, because that's how more customers are wanting to engage. We don't want to be out there in the world so much anymore. So if you can think of ways that you can allow your customers to contact you in the way that they want to contact you, not in the way that you'd like to be contacted, you're going to have much better engagement with your customers.
Yeah, so that's really good. And I love that WhatsApp, actually. So for people that aren't using WhatsApp, or regardless of WhatsApp, text marketing. Now, text marketing, some people will be like, what, really? Text marketing really, really works. Your response rate on text marketing is higher than your email response rate. And your open rates are massively, massively higher, where the average brand is getting a maximum kind of 5% open rates on their emails. Text message marketing, I guarantee if anybody does it, and if they come back with less, I'll be shocked. I'm not going to give them anything. I'm not going to give you anything, because some brands are different. But with most brands, generally speaking, you're going to get much better response rates when you're doing it on there. Okay, three tips from me. I'm going to throw some into the hat as well. Number one, you're going to love this. Get onto TikTok and LinkedIn. They are still the two biggest platforms for organic reach. If you're struggling with your marketing budgets right now, get on those platforms. If you're looking at being around for a long time, use TikTok. If you're not, well, maybe then don't. But you need to be on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is still giving you the highest organic reach, okay? So people that are struggling with budgets, get on LinkedIn right now. Next thing, do this, live videos. Live videos are absolutely brilliant. They get instant reactions. They send it out to people instantly. They've got notifications. It's really, really cool. And it's really, really fun. So do some live videos. Now, I've been telling people to do this, and people were saying, well, Stefan, you don't do that much live video. So I'm practicing what I preach with this exact show. And then because it worked so well, we got over 30,000 views in the first week. So what you do, if it works for you, and I always say the same thing to everyone, double down on it. This is why we now do two shows a day. So get on and start doing some live video, guys. Don't be afraid to jump in front of the camera. It goes back to what Lindsay said earlier on. When you're building brand, when you're putting across your own personality, people like that. And if people are scared, if you're worried that people won't like you, for every one person doesn't like you, there'll be nine that do. So don't worry about it. And stop caring about what people think, because they don't pay your bills. And that was my tip number two. Tip number three. Everybody knows what it is. It's so obvious. Do some Facebook advertising. It's never been so bloody cheap. It is ridiculously cheap right now, but it won't be cheap forever. So Facebook advertising is really cheap right now. We're getting our cost per lead is reduced by about 400%. We're getting it by like 50p a lead at the minute instead of £8, which is incredible. Our cost per engagement is 0.003p. So for anybody that runs Facebook ad campaigns, check out your own cost per engagement and you'll notice that ours is probably quite low, which is amazing. That has reduced over the last few months. Now, this won't be around forever. Now, Facebook are putting lots and lots of money into businesses to help them because of the coronavirus. So if your business has been affected, you can apply for Facebook ads budget and they will give you some money. Or not will, you can apply, they might. They've only rolled this out in a few states in America so far, but they will be coming to the UK. Now, if you're going to be competing in the UK in Facebook ads, you don't want to be competing against people that are using free money, okay? So do it now while there isn't that competition, because in maybe 6 months' time, there might be another 20 million worth of ad spend that you're competing with, which is not worth it. So it's going to get more expensive. So now is a great time to do it. And don't start thinking that people aren't spending money. People are spending money. Like, this is, no one's kind of sat there saving money in their house and going to the bank and withdrawing it and putting it under the bed. People are still buying stuff online. Amazon have got record sales at the minute. So absolutely. Facebook advertising, make it happen. Which brings me on to a question that we actually had. Well, actually, Liam, we'll come back to your question in a second. We'll go to Sarah's question first. So I'll send this over to you, Lindsay. How has customer interaction changed since lockdown, and how did that affect your content creation?
Well, it's a very broad question because obviously customers, who are your customers? For some people, I know very little has changed depending on what industries they're in. Other people, the whole world has turned upside down. So think about who your customer is, as I said before, if you're going to think about how things have changed. But if we take it really broadly, I think the most important thing is that everything more and more has come online. Obviously, we can't get out, we can't do things. So everyone's looking to the digital world. And especially for me, I've noticed a lot of people feeling uncertain about things, and more people looking for advice, guidance, and that could be across the board on different things. So especially for me working with people, it's that the more educational content you can put out at the moment, the more that you can share things, that seems to be better. That seems to be what people are looking for at the minute. And at the minute, I think a lot of people are getting sick of people shouting about the coronavirus, and we're really sorry. And you get so many emails from the CEO of this company or that company telling you all the wonderful things they're doing. We're actually valued, really, really important things. Don't tell people how sorry you feel for them or how awful it is and how what a great job you're doing, because that doesn't offer any value to anybody. Really think about value and make sure that that's how the best content at the minute are the ones that are giving people value. And it really is the minute you can answer people's questions, give them guidance. For me on marketing, a lot of people don't invest in marketing when things go tough. It's always the first to go. I've worked in many marketing departments where times get tough. That's the one thing they want to get rid of, which is crazy because you have to keep marketing or you're going to get left drastically behind. But people can't invest in it if you don't have cash flow. What can you do? So the minute I'm giving people a lot of guidance on how to do their own marketing, which is exactly what Stefan's doing, and that's what people want at the minute. Because with my customers, it is about how can we help you do things on your own that you couldn't do otherwise? How can we help you manage your workload in-house? A lot of IT companies are doing great support at the minute. So really think about what your customers want, how their world has changed, and then how you can help them. Because even if you can't sell to them in a minute, if you support them, they'll remember you when it is the time for them to buy again.
Absolutely, 100% right. So for Sarah, there has been lots of changes in customers and how they're acting online. One great thing that I was actually having a conversation yesterday with a friend who works in recruitment, and we were talking about the state of the economy in general. You know how you get into those conversations. So we were talking about it overall, and I think he said the words, when it goes back to normal. And I said, sorry, it's not going back to normal. Now, especially with purchasing, and this is a big hit, my prediction for the retail market, which is unfortunately really, really disastrous. Now, all of those people that never used to buy online and they used to like going to the high street, or people that just not maybe too tech savvy, and they were just like, you know what, I'd rather go to the shop than jump online and do all that stuff. Now, everybody's kind of been thrown and forced into a situation now where they must purchase online. Almost everybody will now be making purchases online using somebody like Amazon, which, again, fantastic platform, really like Amazon. I do all my purchasing through Amazon personally, or eBay. I still use eBay. I'm old school. But for those people that weren't buying online before, when we go back to what people are saying normal, those people that have now benefited from the convenience of doing online buying, we'll stick with it. Sorry for the retail market, but we will have a rush when all the shops open again. Everyone's gonna be like, yeah, I can go to the shop, and they'll go to the shop, and then they'll go, do you know what, actually that buying online stuff that we did in lockdown is a little bit easier, and they will revert back to that. So that is my prediction. I think that is definitely gonna happen. So what we're seeing is the changes in lockdown, people are starting to buy online. I think this is not just a trend. This is something that's here to stay. How has that affected content creation? Well, for most people, I'll go back to what I said earlier on, which is about building brand. We've got so many people adding value at the minute. I completely agree with Lindsay about this bloody CEO email. How many of them have I had from these blimmin' loser CEOs? I don't care what you're doing. Like, I honestly don't. Is there any benefit in that email apart from you going, I'm a really nice person? I don't care. Like, what are you doing to help me? Is there anything in there going to help me? No. Okay. Delete, block, don't email me again. Like, we don't care for this sort of stuff. That's not good content. It's not even a good use of their time. It doesn't make me like you anymore, actually. It makes me dislike you because you bothered me with an email I didn't need. So if you're going to send out emails like that, then make sure you add value. We've got an email going out on Monday. It's not the same thing. It's similar, but it's not a, I feel sorry for you in lockdown. It's a case of, if you're a struggling business, we're going to add value. You can book in a digital reconnaissance session with one of the digital commandos. They'll take you through half an hour, add some value on the phone, and we will not try and sell you anything at all. Like, we're not there to sell. We just want to give some value. If we get a cool testimonial out of it, brilliant. That's pretty much what we're in it for. But what it does for us is build brand. So we want people to build brand at the minute, build those relationships. And that's what I think is the key to content creation at the minute, and how it's what's definitely changed our strategy personally and a lot of our clients that aren't in a position to sell currently. Right, going on to another question we had from Liam, which is, if I have a clothing brand and I'm looking to sell products online, I have a Shopify store built, what would be the best focus, best to focus my marketing, Instagram or Facebook? Interesting question. I like this. Lindsay, what do you think?
I think both are really powerful for a clothing store, but both could be used in quite different ways. I think telling your brand story first. There's how many clothing brands are there out there? Hundreds upon hundreds, probably thousands. So what makes you different? What is it you stand for? What is your unique aspect? What's your differentiation? Really need to try and showcase that somehow through, and it comes back to that telling a story. So don't just, if you're going to use Instagram, don't just put pictures of the clothes up there. Try and find a way that you can show how they're different, how you really understand your target audience. So if you think about different clothing brands, they all appeal, they don't just appeal to all women or all men, they appeal to certain subsets of those genders. So really think about who is it you're targeting and how you can showcase that you really understand them and how you can grab their attention to it. I'm absolutely obsessed with shoes. I love shoes so much. And I love heels. And I just can't stop looking at these new exciting shoes, the latest in colours, what's going on, the fabulous stiletto heels. And when certain shoe brands showcase these shoes and show me them in the right light with the right sort of style to them, I automatically engage because they've hit what I like. So they've understood me and they are putting stuff out there that works for me. But not everyone is going to be interested in stiletto shoes. So they've understood their target market and they're doing really well. So think about your target market. And then if you're going to use Facebook, I hate it when you do Facebook posts that have got 3,000 words in them. That might be a bit of an exaggeration, but we haven't got time to sit and read stuff. That's the point of the modern day world. We don't sit and read stuff for ages and ages. Even videos, we won't, unless we're going to get a lot of value out of it. We're not going to sit and watch something for 10, 20 minutes, especially if ultimately the end point is sales. So think about what you can do that's really interesting. Think about what you can do that's really engaging, that's different, that showcases your story, that gets people on board with who you are. I love this little clothing brand because they're doing this, they're in my local area. Like as Stefan said earlier, Bob and his chairs, you know, what is it that makes you interesting and different? And tell those stories through social media. The key word is social, and it has to be social. So really think about your customer base. And I would use both slightly differently. Have really interesting images on Instagram. Bring it to life. Really capture the attention of your audience, but put the bits in there that make you different. And in Facebook, short snippets of stories and video, probably a really good thing, but it showcases your story. And just don't put too much selling in there. Have a little bit because you are ultimately, there's no harm in having a bit of selling, but tell that story, make it interesting, invite people to engage with you, and really target it at your audience.
Yeah, Lindsay, absolutely spot on. I think Lindsay gives some fantastic insights there on organic social media. Now, for everybody who knows me, I'm not an organic guy. I am full on paid. So, Liam, my strategy to you, and feel free to book in one of those 30-minute calls with me, actually, because that'd be really cool to talk to you about it. But, right, my simple strategy for you will be, look at who you're targeting. Who is your audience? If that, let's say, I actually don't know what clothing that you're selling, but let's say you're targeting women aged 20 to 30. Go and find an influencer that is really influential with the market of 20 to 30s. Get them on board. Offer them commission for their sales. Set them up on an affiliate program. Smash Facebook ads. And the way to check this, and this is my goal, absolute gold for anybody looking at influencer marketing. When you go into Facebook ads campaigns and look at interests, put in the name of the influencer. And if they come up, use the influencer. If they don't come up, they're not an influencer that you want to use. You might get some sales, but it's not going to be great. So make sure you're using a high profile influencer that's actually got their name on the Facebook ad strategy platform. Then run Facebook ads, targeting their audience. Forget about your audience. Forget about making an audience up or trying to figure out the demographic of the people that like you. Just hit their following. Constant. Bang, 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 bang. It's like what the problem with influencer marketing, everybody gets wrong, is they pay for the influencer to make a post every day or every week or every month. To get a good influencer, kind of rough costs that we pay influencers, we'll pay about £3,000 a month. And what we get back for that is one post per week of the influencer using your products or again, if you're in your clothing, that kind of thing. That's kind of what you're looking for. But you're not restricted on anything you do outside of that. So then you can just use those images and hit their audience all day, every day, marketing to those people that like that influencer. I literally did this for a brand last year, coming into the beginning of this year. We took their sales from 6K a month to 90K a month just by using an influencer in that exact strategy. So that would be my big one for anybody in clothing or selling any physical product. That would be my big advice. And it really, really bloody works. And it's fast. It's really, really fast results. That would be, again, Facebook ads guy. And obviously, you say Facebook or Instagram, both. Use Facebook ads platform and just use both. I'm not an organic guy, but if you're going to do organic and you've got time to do organic, I would go with what Lindsay said. Absolutely. Tell your stories. Tell about what makes your brand individual. So much. So build your rapport through that. You should be building rapport in your ad strategy as well. But yeah, do both. Absolutely do both. Right. What other questions we've got in? We've got a couple of minutes. We haven't actually. Let's have a quick look at what we've got. Thank you very much, Courtney, who's loving these live videos. Fantastic. You have asked a question, Courtney. Unfortunately, we haven't got time to answer it, but we will go into the comments after, and I'll put my thoughts on that. I'm sure Lindsay will do that for you as well. 30-minute call, nice touch. Well, we had a fantastic call actually earlier in the week. Jan's doing something really, really fantastic, which I won't share currently because we'll probably get you on the show to share something that you're doing, which is absolutely fantastic and really good for the community and the wider community as well. And Liam, thank you for that. Definitely something to work on. My brand is not for profit, so loads of shout outs and great. Thanks. Guys, thank you very much for watching and for everybody who's questioned and commented and everything else and liked and shared and everything. Like I said, all we ask is if you feel that it was benefiting here, then please tag somebody in the comments or share it with them so they can get the benefit from it as well. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining me. Just to give a quick recap to everybody who's watching, can you just quickly remind people of what you do and how they can get in touch with you if they need to?
Yes, so my name is Liz Woodward. I'm a marketing consultant and I've been marketing for quite a long time now. So I can help you out in all different areas of your marketing strategy, planning and executing it. And if you want to go to my website, you can find out more about me. It's l-w-marketing.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Lindsay. Once again, everyone, thank you for watching. We'll all be back at 8 p.m. tonight for show number 2 of the day. It is around marketing because it's Tuesday Trends. So if you're around at 8 o'clock, I look forward to seeing you there. Once again, thank you all and peace out.
Bye.
End of show dance.